In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
You talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Lone Wolf X, Sax and Jax. I'm talking about Mike Byrne on the board. Greg Pappas in studio. Physically, S&P futures up 29, NASDAQ futures up 131. Dump Bears.
What'd you think about that handoff to, who was it? I didn't even recognize him when he was in.
It was an old
was it Kramer?
It wasn't really a handoff.
The backup, yeah.
It wasn't really a handoff. It was some kind of a, like a little bit of a toss. It was a lousy handoff. I think they played the quarterback more than him.
It was the first time they lost the game.
You're supposed to put it right in the guy's, you're supposed to put the guy in his stomach. I remember that from grammar school, you know, just winging at him.
Yeah, I think Williams was charged with the fumble. But either way, I mean... Would they think they're the 85 or?
What? Well, I mean, the guy, just because I don't think that the design was bad, the execution. I mean,
no, the design was terrible. Who does that? Your team isn't even good. You take a play from the Super Bowl team. You can't run the ball to begin with. I don't get that at all.
You don't have any idea what the guy's talents are. He didn't know Cole.
His Komet. Talent was good enough to be on the backup squad and not even a starter.
Okay. Maybe the guy might have played fullback in college. You don't know.
That doesn't matter. There's the playbook. They've got 100 other plays in front of that one, and they picked that one.
Even the play is probably the right play. It's probably the same play they ran with the other guy later.
The play was like the one from 85.
You're talking about the person. The personnel you think was wrong.
No, I'm talking about the play that was dumb.
But I'm saying the play was a straight dive over the middle. It's just a question of who you gave it to.
Why can't you just run it with a running back or fullback?
Well,
the 80 plays in front of that.
I didn't say it worked out well. I said it. You know, obviously they didn't practice enough with
guy. We got people who don't know what we're talking about here.
The Bears were down about the yard and a half line. And they try to dive play with a
offensive lineman.
But well, I suppose you'd have given the ball to Butkus. He was a fullback in high school, and a really good one.
Yeah, but he was a starter. He was playing on a team with a much better. I don't understand that at all. So that was the first time the Bears lost the game. It was.
Well, but they also the other
what,
guys
7-12.
They also won it 5 times when they kept giving the guys the ball and they make it down to 7-yard line, couldn't get in. Defense played well.
Yeah, the only good play on the offense was when Swift ran 50 yards or something. That was it. And they were behind. They try that. That was terrible. Then the second-to-last play of the game, they let up a first down that was just sloppy, and that enabled them to do the Hail Mary at the end, and then they lost.
Well, even if they get the first down, they might have tipped it further into the end zone and still got the Hail Mary.
Maybe. Yeah. Just hilariously Bears football.
But, I mean, you fantasy dudes.
Let's call it deer in headlights football.
You fantasy dudes. you have to, it's sort of like watching the economic world today, and people say stuff and kind of you wonder what the hell they're talking about. Watch these really good teams and watch the Bears.
I see nothing in common.
Well, I'll tell you what you don't see in common.
Although the Bears do have a really good defense. To have good defense and great receivers. I don't understand where they go during the game, but, you know, whatever.
Well, if you give me a second, I'll explain it to you. Watch Kansas City. Watch these other good teams. Whenever it's a fourth down, or not the fourth down, the fourth quarter, anywhere where they really need it, they can always put four people in the pattern because the offensive line can keep the jailbreak away from the quarterback, at least long enough to where you got to cover that extra guy. It makes a problem for defense. The Bears have really good receivers.
You know, it was 12.7 seconds that they got that Daniels had at the last.
What I'm saying is, watch the Bears, even in the drive in the fourth quarter where the guy made a couple of really good plays. The one where he was going to run out of bounds and turn around and throw it across the field and manage to complete it. Usually that's interception heaven, but he managed to complete it. This kid's good, this quarterback.
Are we making excuses?
What I'm trying to
say is... No, the kid's not good. That's what I'm trying to say.
He could be good.
Yeah, everybody could be good.
Well, I mean, he's the only rookie quarterback ever. And you know, I was not in favor of another number one draft pick going for quarterback, but saying watch if you watch the last 20 plays in a row where they're trying to throw, watch the tight end is as good as anybody's got. Cole Kmet, the guy's blocking on 2/3 of the plays. You can't do that if you're gonna. You need him in the pattern.
You don't need him when you have the Bears receivers. You don't need him. Should be blocking.
I'm talking about numbers of people.
Okay.
If you have four people in the pattern, it's very difficult for the defense to guard them all. When you see a lot of these teams, I don't know, I'll go off the rails here, with the little white guy who always manages to find a seam in the zone whenever you need him in the third down or something in the fourth quarter, how many teams like have that guy? The reason why they have him is because the other three guys are occupying the backs. If you have three guys in the pattern, you've got four deep backs and a linebacker. Every single time this guy throws deep or any place for the Bears, you see the guy's double covered. Why is he double covered? Because they only have three people in the pattern because somebody has to stay and help the lineman block or else the guy gets killed.
Right, right. And maybe part of it's being a rookie, but they need extra help.
You put Johnny Unitas behind that line and he's got a problem. They just don't keep people out. The only thing he's got going for him is he's fast as hell. Same way with the other guy, Justin Fields. They were able to do their own jailbreak back, basically.
I think you've got the rose-colored glasses on this one.
I said the only thing saving him is he can move.
Right.
What if he was stationary? What if he was a Tom Brady getting murdered?
If he was stationary, they would be doing more of the bubble screens, which this is kind of what all they do.
If he was stationary, he'd be dead.
I don't think so.
They absolutely need somebody in the interior to line up. How many pressures did that one tackle get? About 12?
Yep.
Who was he running over, me?
They're just.
Look at your personnel.
It looks like a bunch of high school players.
No, look at your personnel. Your right tackle, high draft pick. He's a good ball player. Left tackle, scale of 1 to 10. He's a 6. He's okay.
Right. And the other teams do a great job of getting at the weaknesses.
Well, the whole interior line. Jenkins, did he was even playing yesterday? He get hurt again. He's good, but he never plays. The left guard was a free agent pick, and he's a disaster. And the center, I don't know where they got him. So
the problem is the coaching. It's not the players.
The problem is you don't have a line.
Did you see? Was it Eberflus or Waldron after the game saying, "Yeah, it was a good play." You know,
you're right. It was.
But maybe Eberflus just wanted to support what Waldron was doing.
Look at the difference.
It wasn't a good play.
Look at the difference.
If you can't see that, just give up.
Look at the difference in the Philadelphia offensive line since Kelsey retired.
Kelsey didn't retire.
The center did.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, what were the stats on the quarterback? I know he had 35 fantasy points, so this is a completely different. I mean, they get stuff done.
It's all about having a balanced team and having The Bears absolutely if they
some people don't have a balanced team. They just have strengths and weaknesses, and the coaches adapt.
Everybody has strengths and weaknesses. Yeah. But if an offensive line is your weakness, you got a problem.
Of course. But if you don't have receivers, you got a problem. And if you don't have a running back, you got a problem. You just have to game plan for it.
If you keep your receivers in the block, you got a problem. So what are you making this oil market this morning? You're supposed to be our futures guy. Obviously, you're not our next coach.
if you just don't expose, or you don't let them go straight after your weaknesses, you can at least have a chance.
When the Bears can run the ball and run their screens and do their crap and keep people off the middle of the line, they're okay. But all
that's
of a sudden,
not that doesn't work as an argument, though, because that's everything. You can't use that as when it happens. You don't want them to come at your weaknesses, but that's gonna happen. If you have a quarterback, you don't want them to kill your quarterback, but it's gonna happen sometimes. It's what do you do about it?
You get linemen. Bears are in a decent line since '85.
Well, I would argue it's way more than that.
Anyway, you're in the restaurant business. How do you stop?
I thought we were talking about oil. It's way down today, right?
It's way down because the Israelis didn't hit the oil facilities in Iran. What did you think of that article that I sent you last week regarding all the different, since there's such a glut of oil going on in the world, all the different old tankers bobbing around over in the Far East trying to stay out of each other's way, loaded with oil and transferring Iranian oil to other ships so they can bring it to North Korea and all that crap? You guys talking about any of that stuff on the floor?
A big thing. That was a bigger strategy, I want to say, 2008. And then whenever oil dips a bunch, you find some people just using tankers as storage. So, all right, we'll put it on there, and we'll just wait until the prices go up, and then we'll deliver it right as the prices are going up. But it's kind of the opposite right now, whereas they've got a bunch of supply, they don't see the demand in Asia, and maybe the threat of violence around there, you know, is going down, maybe. And so they hit oil hard this morning, meaning, you know, 4 or 5%.
Well, wasn't that a big deal with
the
liquefied natural gas 2-3 years ago, when the people who do have the LNG ships.
Well, that was more of a supply crunch, so they were worried about getting a limited amount of LNG transportation capacity being completely full and them running out. It didn't happen because of weather, but there was a constraint in the transportation of the
you know,
weren't the dudes driving,
keeping the ships moving over there until the price went up, and it never went up.
Right. And then you got a problem.
Yeah.
But with crude oil, it's a little bit different, and it's a lot easier to transport. So you can do what Citigroup did a long time ago, just buy ships and have them as mobile storage. And really, I mean, if there's a supply crunch or whatever, you just drive it in and deliver it. That's kind of the opposite going on right now, is they're saying, okay, well, maybe there might not be that crunch. Maybe Israel and Iran might work something out, or maybe they're not going to end up blowing each other's capacity up. I think Israel has the capacity to really do what they want now that those air defenses aren't really there. So, you know, the oil prices are reflecting that. Ceasefire? Is that what it is? I don't know.
This was the retaliation for the retaliation for the retaliation. But they missed the oil facilities. They went for a couple of military bases.
Something. As I understand it, it's pretty obvious that Israel can target whatever they want, and it's just a question of if they do it or not. So as the market realizes they're not going to, or they at least haven't, it doesn't look like they're going to take out most of that infrastructure. That was a 4% or 5% adjustment in price in the world market.
Well, it's probably why some of the tankers over there, they probably, according to the article, last week we talked about this a little bit. We're talking to listeners now instead of you and me.
There appears to be a bunch of, because two of them banged into each other last Thursday. Wasn't that the news?
Yeah.
And you say, what the hell are those guys doing over there? And evidently, a lot of them have Iranian oil on them, which, you know, nobody's supposed to take. Of course, the Koreans do. And I think India does. A few other places do.
India takes it and then tells and then tells everybody, don't lecture us about anything.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but they also seem to have...
Kind of admire that.
I don't get the part when... Like, I was confirmed on Friday by Carl that you can pretty much... A good chemist that knows his oil, could pretty much put a hypodermic needle in any oil, put it under a microscope, maybe not the microscope, but a spectrometer of some kind. He can tell you right where it came from, right? So I don't get the part why they're allegedly transferring on the ocean, which is really, really tough to do. They're transferring oil from one ship to another and then delivering it with the other ship with a different flag. And
usually that has to do with tariffs and insurance.
Well, whatever. It's very dangerous. You better have a calm sea. And also, it's to do that, guys are turning their transponders off, and that's why two of them banged into each other, right?
Ah. Well, that's, yeah. But if you turn off your location and your sonar, and that could happen, definitely.
Well, you can tell, I mean, by satellite. Somebody told me how to do this once, years ago. There's actually, you can go online and you can pretty much locate any ship that's anywhere, right? Just by the transponders and the satellites?
I don't know if... I know it was... That was a cottage industry for some traders for... Or some, you know, traders would subscribe to those services for, like, Intel type of stuff. Yeah. And the... What's it called? There's similar to how people have maps of the aviation flight plans and stuff, where you can keep track of that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, you can use tail numbers too.
Yeah, I mean, there's some people who try to do that with large ships just because, you know, they're nerds. I'd imagine you can try to do it by yourself too via the public satellite images, but that's got to be a little bit more difficult. Maybe you can do it.
Wasn't Musk all pissed off that somebody was following his plane around and putting out on Twitter where he was, and then he banned the guy from Twitter?
Yeah, that guy also did Taylor Swift and a couple other celebrities.
Well, duh, you got your own plane, you got your own tail number sitting right there, right?
That's one way to get views.
Well, yeah, I mean, but then again, the whole idea that you know, Musk is a savior because he's stopping censorship. He just transferred it from the government to him, right? Mm. He gets to be the censor now.
Mm. Would you would you bounce around the country if you had your own private plane like that?
I don't know. I mean, where would I go? I mean, I'd go somewhere once in a while, but
you can go to DC, fundraise. You go to San Francisco, invest for the techies. And then over to UAE.
So in other words,
Emirates.
If I had a real nice Gulf Stream, you'd find me places to go, what you're telling me.
Yeah, I mean, it's business development.
All right. Why don't you do that now? Why don't you find us like some huge clients in San Francisco and we'll both fly out there?
What did I think? No, that was a different group. There's some big trading firm that was there trading. I think it was just a lot of cash from Google. Or are they? Which town are they in?
I think they're out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't ridiculous Warren Buffett just of course he owns the firm. Doesn't he just rent a jet whenever he wants to go somewhere? Is that ever his own?
Yeah. Not a bad deal.
No, it's not a bad deal. All right, you're also an aficionado of the restaurant business. What in the hell happened to McDonald's? How do you... You see this happen to Chipotle, and I'm not a fan of Chipotle of any kind, but when people really take it upon themselves to source locally, don't you kind of run the risk of this happening once in a while?
From what they thought, it's the vegetables, either onions
or... Yeah, it's the onion. They located the one farm, actually.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, because now the quarter pounders are back.
So... McDonald's uses the dehydrated onions for some of them, and then maybe fresh for different ones.
I think the quarter pounder is fresh.
Yeah, so I mean, I think Hell did a tweet on this last week that was really good, going through the math. It's still way safer to eat at McDonald's than it is pretty much. The incidences of these are few and far between. But
and most of the time they're not fatal.
Right. If it does happen,
I mean, just about all the time they're not fatal.
Yeah, if it does happen, you know, it's their responsibility to find the supplier and deal with it. But produce is very dangerous because there's no good way to wash some of that stuff, especially when you start getting into the green stuff too. Spinach is very dangerous, and stuff like Listeria. And
well, except for spinach, you pretty much, well, we'll say pretty much because people have it in salads, but by and large, you cook it. If you cook it, you burn the E. coli, right?
You can cook it out. I'm not positive on the other stuff. There's a lot of stuff on potatoes that grows in starches that you can't cook out. It's just not a good... Well, it is a good risk-reward. If you go out, you're most likely they've got much better, tighter regulation, but it still does happen because it's food. You know?
Well, I actually read, I don't cook that much anymore, but I used to really like to cook. And I was always wondering about, you know, vegetables, especially fresh ones. And there's a real easy way to clean it, but nobody ever does. So you're supposed to put your lettuce and everything. If you're going to boil something, you really don't have to. But if you don't, I mean, stuff with skin on it, you don't have to worry about it, right? Because it's not going to get through the skin necessarily. But you're supposed to just take a big, you know, big pot like you'd use for your pasta, fill it up with water, throw a chunk of apple cider vinegar in there and let it soak for 20 minutes. Nobody ever does that, do they?
No. No.
I mean, apple cider vinegar will kill all this stuff, right?
I think really rinsing that stuff off is very helpful in preventing most everything. Apple cider vinegar, maybe some people do different ways. I think it's a very dilute.
Yeah, it's very dilute.
Yeah, type of soap. It's baked into the processes of the restaurants pretty well, but it gets through sometimes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
In the words of that Jurassic Park, you know, Jeff Goldblum, yeah. Life finds a way.
Yeah, well, it sort of definitely does. Well, we're going to have Mr. Flanagan in a minute, and we'll talk some of the stuff. And the next week, Matt Byrne has managed to find our friend Karen Reeves, who is now running for school board and is getting involved in this incredible fight. When Jan comes on, we'll talk about this a little bit.
She's running into the building. The burning building.
Yeah, no kidding. She absolutely is. SP Futures up 27, NASDAQ Futures up 123. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again. How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas. ideas and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Well, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. This could be one of the toughest investment climates that I have ever seen. It's very difficult for someone to decide between risk-free investments like treasuries or CDs, corporate bonds at all-time low rates, or the stock market, which right now is somewhat unloved. On the other hand, if you have wealth, you are an investor and should be concerned about income and risk. Like everyone knows by now, the PTI Securities has a 14-year investment program called the Protect Index Program that has served our clients well for a long time. I think, however, that people associate that program with new cash investing, and that is somewhat true. What you may not know is that PTI also uses the same concepts and risk parameters to help clients with individual stock positions, especially a concentrated stock position. How many of you have your stock sitting in a brokerage firm where, if you ever felt the need for protection or income enhancement strategies, there'd be no one with a clue on how to help you? Are you really comfortable with those large concentrated stock positions? Ever think of talking about ways to possibly adjust the risk or income potential? It can only happen if that stock is in an account with a firm like PTI. Then again, I can't think of a firm like PTI, with the Chief and others averaging 15 years of floor trading. Give us a call or contact PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Low and low pay stocks and jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Matt Byrne on the board. And we have Greg Pappas in studio of Giant Planning and coming in over the lines here in a second. SP Futures up 26. As if futures 116, it's pretty good. We were up a little more, but still it's pretty good. Dow futures up 180. Individual stocks, what we've got? Goldman Sachs up 277. Honeywell up 105. Home Depot up 169. Amgen up 204. Pretty much everything except Chevron Texaco, which is down because oil prices are down. So you'd expect those guys to be down, and they are. Let's see where we are the rest around the rest of the world. We have Europe. Exactly down 34. I'm kind of surprised about that. FTSE down 21.2%. CAC round up 13. Call that flat. That's a
got big earnings this week too.
Yeah, we got all kinds of those. Over in Asia, got the Nikkei up 691. It's almost 2%. Hang Seng up 9. Call that flat. Shanghai up 22.7%. The Nikkei. These guys are doing pretty good at keeping these markets up over there. 10-year up 2 basis points, 4.25. That was down on Friday. The Bund unchanged, 228. Japan up 3 basis points, 0.98. It's making it way back to 1%. We got oil, and again, this is a big piece of news. Down 416, 67.52. That's almost 6%. Brent down 421, 5.5%. Natural gas down 12 cents, 243. Get a load of this. RBOB, as I was clucking as I got gas yesterday at 303, is down a dime. So what do you think it is this morning? 297? Ray should have held off, for God's sake. I didn't need that.
Could have saved a dollar.
You could have saved a buck, Chuck. Gold down 10 bucks, 27.43. Silver down 21 cents, 33.56. Copper unchanged, 4.36. Even though gold and silver are bouncing around here, they're still pretty elevated numbers. Foreign exchange. The euro, 108. Again, the dollar has been up 2.5%, 3% in the last 3 weeks. British pound, 129.7. It was 131 for a long time. And we have crypto up 979, 68,660. A lot of stuff there. Matt, by the way, the Bears must have lost yesterday, didn't they?
They did indeed, yeah. We'll get into that in a little bit. But currently, that is 636 on October 28th, 2024. As far as traffic, inbound on the Kennedy from O'Hare to Jane Bird Interchange, currently at 46 minutes. The outbound at 20. Weather in Chicago, 54 degrees at O'Hare this morning. Today, a high of around 81 degrees with a sunny skies and low of 54 tonight. Down in Phoenix, Arizona, 46 degrees right now, partly cloudy. Later in the day, a high of 67 and sunny skies. On Saturday, in the MLB World Series, Dodgers won the game against the Yankees 4-2. Tonight, they move on to Game 3. Game starts tonight at 7 Central Standard Time. In the NFL, yesterday, week 7 of the 2024 season, Bears lose to Washington Commanders 18-15. Bears are 4-3 so far this season. Packers, though, won against Jaguars 32-27. Tonight, Giants play Steelers at 7:15 p.m. So I got Chief back to you.
So we have Mr. Flanagan?
We do indeed.
I hate to be doggy down on these Bears, but my guys yesterday were of course all over me that I predicted four and thirteen or 5-12 for the Bears, and of course now they're still at 10-7. I looked at the schedule going forward. Let me ask you, fans, other than the Patriots, who are they going to beat?
They look good.
I mean, they got to play Minnesota, Detroit, and Green Bay still twice apiece, right? Yeah. They haven't played either one of any of those teams. They're all better than they are. Do you see them?
It's all right. They beat the Panthers.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They beat the Panthers, and they beat who are the other guys who were lousy? Titans or somebody?
they beat the Panthers.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's
deja vu all over again, Todd.
It's a rookie season. You got to expect just to look stupid sometimes, and it happens. So
well, I mean, they are definitely better than last year. I mean, the defense, I think, is reasonably up there. But secondary is pretty good, but they got a couple guys that are hurt. I mean, they're decent. They're good. The offense just keeps giving the other guys the ball. So what's the weather supposed to be like tonight in New York? As we start our World Series in October, God knows when, in New York. Is that supposed to be that cold, is it, Matt? You're a meteorologist?
No, I think it's supposed to be fairly mild. So
yeah, I don't think it's going to be horrible. We've had some pretty nasty World Series games, but I don't think we're going to have that this year. Boy, there was a rule the other day. I did not... You know, I haven't played hardball in so long. I've been playing softball forever. I guess when you think about it, it makes sense that one of the reasons why the guy was able to hit that home run the other night, Freddie Freeman, was that you see these great catches once in a while in a World Series where the guy runs over to the stands and gets the ball and lands in the stands or something. Inevitably, Greg, it's like...
Fun fact, you remember when Anthony Rizzo struck out Freddie Freeman? I do.
Yeah.
That was too funny.
Well, this is one of these plays actually was Rizzo when he hopped up on the tarp and made a catch and then fell into the stands when he was with the Cubs. Well, if it happens in two outs, no big deal. You just catch it. But evidently, I should have known this. There's a little known favorite college rule that if any part of the fielder steps out of play or lands out of play, the ball's dead and all the runners move up one.
Wait a second. So did he step out of play?
He landed out of play, evidently, because the Dodgers. I guess
but if you dive into the crowd and you make the catch, don't you get the out?
Yeah, but then the runners all get to advance of base.
So if you just can't throw it back in, or
no, because you're out of play.
Oh.
Now I've seen that happen in softball, all kinds of times where the. A fielder will run for a foul ball and then catch it and then keep running to like he's behind the bench or something. Nobody ever moves up. Now, technically, they all should. Assuming softball rules are the same, which they probably are. So there you go. You learned something.
How long has this been around, Tom?
It's rule forever. I'm saying it doesn't usually happen where somebody's...
Yeah.
Or when a couple times it has in the World Series, it's always been the third out. So it doesn't make any difference.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that, but now I do. So, you're surprised. You learn something every day if you keep your ears and eyes open. We're going to have...
It's on at 7 tonight, right?
Yeah, 7:08, I think, is first pitch. Mr. Matt Byrne has gotten our friend Karen Reeves, who's running for school board, which is about the most hotly contested thing I've ever seen in the city. I can't believe it. Every day I get stuff just vilifying one lady's running for another, and one is the mayor's... The mayor backs, and then there's somebody who's running against the mayor's person pretty much everywhere. But in my district, the state senator, the alderman, everybody are dead set against the mayor's pick. But the mayor's pick is always somebody who cares about the schools, cares about the teachers. The other side is actually a Republican, a Trumper, or God knows what. They're vilifying the other person. And ours is a lady named Zachor versus Ellen Rosenfeld or something. But anyway, in another district, Karen Reeves, long listeners probably remember, she was a candidate for Bobby Rush's spot, right, Jen?
Yeah.
And because Bobby retired, and there were like 10 people that ran, 10, 11 people. And one of them was Jesse Jackson's kid, not Jesse Jackson Jr., the other one. And like a week and a half before the election, he got $1 million or something from the Bitcoin guy who's now in jail. So he pulled ahead of the field and ended up winning that election. And I don't think he's done anything remarkable since.
CZ's out of jail.
Who?
By the way. The most famous Bitcoin guy who was in jail. He's now out of jail. He did 3 months.
That's all he did. The guy from Bermuda?
Canada.
No, who's the dude from the Bahamas? What's his name?
That's a different guy.
Yeah, he's the guy who gave Jesse's kid the money.
The Bankman-Fried.
Yeah. So anyway, but Karen was running for that spot, and I think she and another lady finished like neck and neck for the second spot. So I don't know if she'd have won or whatever, but she did a real nice campaign and so forth. And she's a terrific lady. I met her, immediately impressed. I mean, immediately impressed. And the thing that kind of really impressed me about her was we had two people on. For the, by the way, Kevin is mad at you for mocking the Bears. Just saying.
Mocking the Bears.
Yeah, he's saying, you know.
Isn't that a pastime in Chicago?
No. Kevin's a big Bear fan, so, you know, he's now you're on his list. Put him on my list. Remember what movie that was from?
The Quiet Man. On the list.
The Quiet Man. Put him on my list. The Irish have to keep a list in case they forget about the people they don't like. You need a list. Anyway, what the hell are we talking about, Jen?
Pedro Martinez?
No, not Pedro Martinez.
The other Pedro Martinez.
Oh, yeah. It's we had Karen Ann, and the week before we had Keith Pico? Was the mayor of Orland, and Keith is a nice job in Orland, a no nonsense kind of guy, and he's from the right, a vet and the whole bit. Not that there'll be vets from the right, but the interesting part of both of those interviews were, I asked Keith about Karen, and he goes, "Oh, I can work with her in a second. She's terrific." Even though Karen obviously comes from, she's an African American lady, comes from a whole different background. I asked Karen, "What do you think about Keith?" "Oh, Keith and I will be fine in Washington. We got all this, we get both the same goals." So I immediately liked them both because they realized even though they might come from different points of view, the goal was the same. And I don't see that in virtually anybody else. Do you, Jen?
No. And you won't see it with the elected school board either.
No. I don't know where you don't want to. This whole thing is such a multifaceted problem in the Chicago schools. You can't ignore for a second the denigration of families that has happened in a lot of these neighborhoods, not just the black neighborhoods, other neighborhoods as well. And when you don't have a family behind you, having the schools trying to do all the other stuff from dealing with kids that parents have drugs, dealing with kids that parents don't have any, that don't even have parents, call home, there's nobody there. I mean, the problem is more than in just the school. But the teachers' union has sort of responded to that, where if you just give us more money, somehow we'll figure it all out. Even though you see some of the trade schools are out of business, you see some of the...
The farthest right on Twitter that I've seen, at least in this debate, are suggesting that either the governor or one of the state senators try to dissolve the CTU or dissolve some kind of organizing, whatever's in the Constitution, saying they're failing the students and that nobody can read and nobody can write, so they should lose all their public money because they've completely failed.
Well, I'm saying I'm trying to paint a picture of how difficult the job is. I mean, I've talked to a couple of teachers a long time ago and said that so many of the kids are medicated that if they forget their stuff, they're bouncing off the walls. And if they take too much, they're asleep on the desk. You know, when I was in school, I didn't say kids weren't messed up. I mean, kids could always be messed up, but I don't remember any of that, Jen. I mean, I don't know anybody, but none of those drugs were even invented yet, were they?
No.
You know, but the parents were strong, you know, behind the scenes. If you called home, somebody picked up the phone generally and actually gave a crap. So But the teachers' union's response to it, just give us more money, and by the way, let's not test everybody, and then we won't worry about it. I don't think that's a solution, do you?
No.
I mean, I think we need to know if we're spending, and it's not just the money, we're spending $22,000 or something on every high school student, and oh, by the way, everybody's reading it at 7th or 6th grade level. Why wouldn't we want to know that? Isn't that part of the idea that we're doing something wrong? We certainly would like to know it if everybody's doing really well, wouldn't we?
Well, the teachers union would prefer that none of these schools be ranked according to their test scores, which, you know, takes away the last possible, you know, choice that the parents have or students have in deciding if maybe I'd be better off at this school with these kind of outcomes than some other school with much worse outcomes. But now, you know, they're pushing that none of this stuff would be public information, so that, you know, a school would be failing and they could effectively hide that fact from people and continue to enroll people willy-nilly, which to me is just, you know, shocking. But and the same thing with the charter schools too, Tom. I mean, this latest you know, announced closure of the 7 Acero charter schools, of the 15 I think they have, the CTU unionized their teachers in 2017 or 2018, and then of course, you know, all of them closed during COVID. Had that not been, you know, a union faculty, there's a chance they might have stayed open. The private schools in Chicago, you know, stayed open and coped with COVID rather than just shutting the whole thing down. And now these schools are going to close. And CTU's suggestion is, let's just, you know, have CTU absorb them rather than close them, and that way they don't, you know, reduce their numbers.
Well, that's pretty interesting, since somebody else owns it. We'll just absorb it. You take their car too?
Well, yeah, this is the, you know, the effrontery, you know, these grandiose solutions. First, they pretty much sabotaged the charter schools by unionizing their faculty and boosted their, you know, membership numbers, and now that the schools have really, you know, terrible enrollment numbers and their scores have slid because they were closed during COVID, CTU says, oh, we got the solution. We'll just absorb them. Nobody will lose their jobs. So it's a coup where they're going to end up, you know, putting all the charter schools under their umbrella. So what was the point of this experiment?
From what I understand, because one of my friends here in the building, his son goes to one of the charter schools. Correct me if I'm wrong here, John, but the way the money works, I believe, the regular Chicago school board, of course, now they, even like the janitors are farmed out. There's no employees that are janitors. I wouldn't have a job anymore these days. I believe that the public schools have essentially, I won't say two separate budgets, but a fork in the road here. There's the capital budget, which keeps the building up, builds it, you know, does the renovation, does the maintenance. In my day, it would mean paid the janitors and paid the engineers and that kind of thing. Then there's the other budget for the students, and I think for every student that lands in a place, that particular school gets X amount of money because the student is in the building. That's why they're always trying to get people there day one, right, Jen? Anyway, have the budget
looking for, right, and that's their budget numbers that get locked in. So.
Yeah, so I think that number in high school is, I think it was $17,000 before COVID. I think it's up somewhere to low to mid 20s. Let's say 22,000, Jen, just to pick a number. Follows young Greg Pappas in the door of Kelly High School, if that's where he goes day one. Okay, now the two numbers don't match. But in a charter school, I think somebody, you know, it'd be Stocks and Jacks, built, rented, whatever we did, a charter school. We cover, I don't know if it's probably some kind of a tax deduction thing, we cover the building and that stuff. But if Greg Pappas shows up at our door, we get the $22,000, I believe, is the story.
Like a voucher program.
Yeah, it's like essentially like a voucher program. Now, if you're a Catholic school, or I guess there's a few Protestant schools or whatever, I don't know if there's any other religions that actually have schools, but if they do, you get nothing and like it, right? So,
right.
From what I understand, the budget at some of the male, well, this one happens to be all male, Catholic high schools, I think the number that they actually spend per student, capital and teachers and everything, is around 17, 18, 18.5. Jen, I'm thinking maybe about your thinking about your alma mater. Does that sound right?
Yep. Yep.
Jen went to Mount Carmel, and I think that's the number. And I think their tuition is around 14, and they have to cover through fundraising and over to the other four. Correct? Roughly right. About that. My numbers are pretty good, aren't they?
Yep. Keep going.
So, I mean, that's kind of the lay of the land on this. So the Chicago schools get more per student than the Catholic schools get, and, well, Catholic schools charge and use. So the idea in the fight really is economic. You have essentially a union that for some reason represents itself as all African-American, which isn't. It isn't, because there's an awful lot of white teachers. And Asian teachers and every other kind of teacher. But the fact is, the union represents itself as something totally different than what they really are in a lot of ways. So it's this us against them constantly. Whatever it is, you just got to give us more money because we deserve it. You know, and to be honest, John, I think it's turned people off now for about 20 years. It's getting worse. Other people are like, hey, you see that student on TV? By the way, you see the teacher on TV. Looks to me like they can't even talk, and I'm giving them $22,000. And by the way, they want more. I mean, it's an economic argument. It shouldn't be a racial argument, but both sides are sort of making it into one, aren't they?
Right. Well, it's a shame because, especially with something like the charter school idea, one of the attractions I think was they could bypass all of the paperwork nightmare and stultifying. Accreditation process for teachers through state certification, that you could actually get maybe non-traditional teachers, not somebody who necessarily went through the, you know, the teacher apprentice program, or you know, got an education certificate or a degree from National Lewis or someplace like that, but somebody who had, you know, done other things, had college, but didn't have, you know, all of the stuff that you had to check off the boxes in order to get accreditation, which I've come to believe has really driven a lot of talented people away from teaching.
Jen, how do they get around that in some of the what do they call the schools that you got to test for to get in? It's called public schools, the ones that
the magnet
schools, because I don't think Greg's ever met her, but you know her very well. Jean Pearls, who became Jean Mirabito. She was the director of, just retired, by the way, terrific lady, was head of admissions for the University of Michigan College of Engineering for years. I don't know if you knew that or not. But she was very, very up to speed on all the stuff that was going on in these inner city, and not just inner city schools, but every school place, because Michigan's recruiting these people. And she knew the guy, you know where Lynn Bloom is, right? Well, somehow or another, Lindblom is in the deepest, darkest depths of Inglewood you can find. But I actually went to a wedding mass there with Aud in the hood, basically. And we drove by Lindblom, and I go, wait, that place looks better than I've ever seen it. It's a gorgeous building. It's like a full square block. And all of a sudden, the marble is white or the granite or whatever it is, and there's kids going, I'm going, what did they do to this place? Well, it turns out they wanted to make, it is now Lindblom Math and Science Academy. And they gave some guy who was an assistant principal someplace in one of the magnet schools way up north, they gave him the budget in like 2 years. I think they closed the place, man, and totally redid the outside, the inside, you name it, and made it like a real state-of-the-art place. And for a while, I don't know where it is now, I haven't checked, it was one of the top 10 or 15 math and science schools in the state. But I think the teachers there somehow... they were able to get retired people from like industry and stuff to teach there that somehow didn't have to go through the usual mess of working your way up from, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade kind of thing. And wherever you have to do it, they got those guys and ladies around the system somehow. And I don't know, is that something the magnet schools can do and the others can't? Or do you have any idea what I'm talking about? I don't.
Well, no, this is that
Just fun fact for you guys. Lindblom, Chicago Board of Trade.
Hey, what?
Board of Trade guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You know, my understanding was that like with the charter schools, I'm not sure how they were able to waive the requirement for certification for those teachers and then have the CTU absorb them into their membership. So you've got really kind of a two-tiered system for membership. Maybe they have done that. I can't speak from experience. But I do remember their talk about that with the magnet schools. And the idea was that, you know, the teachers you could recruit who had life experience and hadn't had, you know, all the creativity and, you know, drive drummed out of them by having to sit through a lot of the classes you have to take to be certified, which, you know, I looked into it at one point and decided this is not at all going to work for me because it was incredibly time-consuming and a lot of what I thought were rinky-dink classes that didn't, I don't think, increase teaching effectiveness. And I think it probably bored people so much that they changed majors and did something else. But I think you've got, you know, the Catholic schools were a model, and still are, I think, to some extent, of being able to take teachers who didn't have, you know, certificates issued by the state, but had other credentials that the school valued. And, you know, this is where you get people who view teaching not just as a career, but as a vocation. And, of course, they didn't pay them anything like what they got paid in the public schools, but I think that the teaching quality was far superior. So, yeah, I would like to see more opportunities for people who would, you know, be interested in teaching, who didn't have to go through the BS, you know, of having to put up with the CTU as your representatives and you know, determine your pay and your advancement and play that political game, you know, ad infinitum. Well, that's one of the reasons why the schools were in such a mess, because now there's no competition. There's no interest in cultivating an alternate vision of what a teacher could be, given the stranglehold that the union has on, you know, who becomes a teacher. So, you know, I what Greg was saying a little bit ago, yeah, I'd like to see the whole thing blown up. I really don't see any way of adapting it to a workable system anymore. It's there's too much at stake for it to
That's
lumber along.
Far right elements on Twitter were saying that they're eligible, or people could go after them via the Illinois Constitution because they're failing to perform their duty.
Well, I think they have. I have a suspicion. Well, I shouldn't say this, but this relationship they have with the mayor and the borrowing money without. I don't think they went to a union vote to borrow the money to pay for that guy's campaign. I think they've gone against their own charter. I've never read it, so I shouldn't be saying this, John. But I'll bet a real, since nobody seems to care about any kind of rules these days, I'll bet if you really dug, you'd find out that they broke some of their own rules regarding supporting this mayor monetarily.
Oh, without question, yeah. Tom. Or they wouldn't be hiding, you know, their audits and exposing what they've done. Sure.
I mean, I think that's a very abusive. I think it's way beyond any sort of an arm's length transaction. And this guy
isn't that their prerogative, though? If they want to break their own rules,
who's the they?
The union itself.
But I mean, if it says in the charter that for us to borrow money for political purposes, we need a vote or something, and they didn't take it,
but that challenge would have to come internally.
As I'm saying, I don't know all the parts of it. It seems to me that it's very odd. I've never seen a union do that before. Maybe somewhere back in the 20s, you know, the Irish police in Tammany Hall or something, but I've never seen anything like on this scale at all here. Have you, Jen?
No. I mean, and they bypass other things that, you know, public officials normally have to have in their work rules or in their charters for like, you know, what's the status of whistleblowers? How are whistleblowers treated by the CTU? Well, they have no policy, at least no policy that they're willing to publish and explain to their members or to the public, which leads me to believe that there are no such things as whistleblowers. You know, the people who have challenged the union about not publishing their audits, you know, experience retaliation by the union. They're trying to smear them and shut them up. So I guess that means they have a whistleblower policy. They're gone. You know, we don't tolerate no whistleblowers.
Well, you know, I think maybe
that would be one reason I think why a public organization like this should be under stricter scrutiny. It started in around 2010, Tom, where the union you know, leadership clearly had its sights set on taking over City Hall at some point in the near future. And I mean, they didn't make any bones about it. Brandon Johnson was there from the inception with Karen Lewis and Stacey Davis Gates and Jackson Potter and other people who were, you know, bleeding heart Marxists and didn't disguise what their agenda was. And they weren't satisfied until they, you know, completely, you know, changed the union's direction from what used to be a fairly genteel, you know, group of leaders, even in the Jackie Vaughn days, and Deborah Lynch and Marilyn Stewart. I mean, they had reasonable people running the union. Well, for I thought the most part.
Carol Lewis was at least, she went that way in appearance, but I think she was a pretty smart lady. Went to Harvard, right?
Yeah, but I mean, as a leader, Tom, she was an ideologue, and
she went that direction. There's one person that if you listen to her. Her public persona, and actually listen to her, like in a, you know, meet them, whatever they do on Saturday and Sunday morning. Boy, it was like two different people, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I don't know what the story.
You know, I don't like to speak ill of the dead. I mean, she's not with us anymore. But really, that was signified a change in direction.
I'll bet she would never have gone this far supporting a mayor, and then. And I don't. I think she was better than that. I honestly do, but I don't know. I never didn't know the lady. I just had a feeling this would be. She's kind of appalled at this too, wherever she is. Just a thought.
Well, anyway. You know, the national leadership, I think, was even ahead of the game on this because Randy Weingarten has, you know, been president of AFT since 2007, 2008, I think. And I mean, this is sort of a trial run that's happening in Chicago, I think. But the AFT threw huge amounts of money at Johnson, as did the CTU. And it was all about seeing, you know, can they do this in a big city school system? And if they can, it would be a template for lots of other places. So the AFT, as the national organization, I think, was ahead of the local. And they might have taken their marching orders from the Weingarten people from the get-go, for all I know. But it clearly was set up to culminate in a takeover of City Hall.
We got to go to break, Jim. We'll get back. Let's kind of follow up on this, because when you're... It's the way they're going about it, it's almost fighting for the leadership of the Titanic after they hit the iceberg. I mean, it's kind of a zero-sum game what they're doing. I mean,
yeah, they don't see it that way, Tom. I mean, they see it that they think they're going to be there forever, and they think they've got a monopoly. And if we want schools, we're going to have to have their kind of schools.
Tell that to the people in Akron, Ohio, or Detroit, for God's sake. S&P futures up 21. NASDAQ futures up 101. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Blowing up Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. Matt Byrne on the board. SP Futures up 18. NASDAQ's on 84. We're leaking here. We were up a lot more, and now we're not. But we're still not down. We're still up. So that part's good. Yeah, Jan, it's when you look at I constantly am watching the political scene. Not so much because it's fun to watch, because it sure as hell isn't. Because if it affects trading, I mean, that's my job, to take care of stuff for my clients, and maybe they have something, maybe they're operating on people during the day, and they don't have time to watch it, so that's what they pay me for. And the way the market has been going lately, we've had a real nice run. We have not, because I think what the Fed is doing is pumping up, the new job of the Fed, in my opinion, is to make things right for the wealthy class that owns all the assets. So they'll do whatever they have to do to drive the market higher and higher and higher, and you just got to get on the page until something bad happens and whatever. But John, you look at the numbers on a city, and you look at, you and I are old enough to remember the city that was. I'm not talking about the 30s and 40s or anything, but the amount of people that were here and the amount of industries that were here, and you see them shrinking essentially by the day, and that is your tax base, and you end up with a lot of people leaving. You end up with this idea that the rich should fund the rest, but this drug issue is what it has done to our population, and the amount of kids without dads, without all that kind of stuff. And it's not just one color. It's probably not a problem in the Asian community, but it's a problem in a lot of places. You see the tax base draining like that, and I always been, one of the themes of the show for me is, if the economy is actually growing, not some lying BS about pour money in the system and tell everybody we're growing. If it's actually growing at a 3.5-4% rate, real growth, virtually everybody gets a little piece of that pie. I mean, if somebody is working the overtime that's available, somebody starts a small business, somebody does something, and they make a little more than the next guy, most people say it's sort of justified. If there is no growth, which I honestly believe there virtually has been none in the last 20 years, if you were to fix the CPI number, and it might have been a little bit, but I don't call growth, and growth defined as go from $1,000 a night in a hospital to $11,000 as growth. That to me is not growth. But if you use my definition of growth, the only time somebody can really grow is to take it out of somebody else's hide. If the growth is zero and you find a way to grow 5% somehow, it means somebody else is down 5, right, John? I mean, the math is just there. And and I don't want to be doggy downer about this, but the fact is, it's just there. And so, and that's what is going on with these unions and these fights. But the city, you and I bet if we spent 5 minutes on the air, nobody want to hear it, we can name 20 major taxing places that are no longer here in the last 25 years. And there is no way in hell the city has made up for that. They'll never make up for the losses of these exchanges down here. And this, the amount of money used to pour into the taxation from where I am in the South Loop. Not South Loop, just... Well, I guess I'm 50 feet south of the L, so I guess I'm really South Loop, right? South Loop. Yeah. For those that don't know, the loop is defined as anything within the L loop. Everything after that is not, you're not technically in the loop, even though you're in the downtown area, correct?
Right. They started out as the old cable car loop before, yes, but became the elevated loop.
Right. But anyway, so you have a city with essentially shrinking revenues, and we had a mayor who put, put tape on the dent in your car by selling out the Skyway, selling out the parking meters, selling out a Millennium Park garage, those kinds of things, and getting this one-time cash and applying it to current income, which I think should never have been allowed to happen.
but it was. So for a while, it looked like we were putting perfume on the pig, right? And all of a sudden, we're not. And, you know, and I don't see in the response of people now that are being taxed to the nines, a lot of people have left. We've got this degrading population. Plus, you have a total degrading population in some of the African-American areas where the violence is. We lost, I mean, out of the 80,000 people we'll lose, like, every year, aren't, like, 40 or 50,000 on black shit?
Yeah, it's just, it's incredible.
But now you're faced with a situation, you know, take the train. I'll give somebody a tour if they want. I'll still drive there. Take a tour to the west side. Take a tour to the south side. You sit there and wait a minute. We're maintaining water lines, sewers, and lights on blocks where nobody even lives. There's no tax here. Who the hell's paying for that? I mean, this is not genius. This is just... The thing that really stuns me, Jan, and I don't know what possibly we can do about it. This isn't even our normal source would be Dr. Blade, our psychologist friend. I see people just walking around. I mentioned this on Friday. I don't know what drugs and stuff they've been on, but Jan, they look like they're 35 years old. They look like they're 70. They look worse than me. I look okay, I think. I mean, so do you. But I'm saying the damage that's been done, we're not talking about getting somebody a job next Monday, sobering them up over the weekend, and sending them to work. We're not even close to these people, you know, male, female, white, black, whatever. We're not even close to them being any kind of a member of society. The people, the guy down the block here, it, you know, sits in front of the Dunkin' Donuts and, you know, gets a buck from people once in a while. Man, the guy can't be 90 pounds. I don't know what he's on. That guy couldn't work an hour, much less 8 hours. I mean, where do these people even live? Where do they all go to the? I mean, this is. I feel sorry for them. This is. We're not talking about somebody loses his job. He spends too much time in a saloon 2 weeks. You get him a new job, and he stays out of the saloon for 3 days, and he's back to go to work. I can't even imagine what it would take to bring a lot of the people I see up to, I'll say, contributory physical level. Can you? Not to mention, who knows what the education level is. I mean, booze is not the best for you, but it's not like this meth and these other guys, these things other people are taking. I mean, you see people without any teeth and are 30 years. I mean, what the hell? I mean, the failure to recognize a problem is really screwed up, both by your, you know, your. I mean, and you know what's even weirder? And I'd rather not get into politics, but let's just say somebody near me was watching the Trump rally yesterday, and they interviewed some lady going in there and said, why are you voting for Trump? He's gonna send all these people that shouldn't be here out of here, we'll all be like okay. And I'm thinking, oh my god. I mean, you're never gonna get me to say that the immigration problem isn't a problem, that it isn't costing some money. But for anybody to think that all the problems are those that we don't have any of that are self-made, Sam, what is with these people? Are they that stupid? I mean, I don't get it.
Tom, I understand where they're coming from when they say that. Of course, I mean, the solutions aren't not as simple as people maybe portray them as being, but... You know, the reason you got so many strung out people is because there's been an unholy alliance between, you know, the way the U.S. handles the border and the drug cartels that are profiting from letting anything come across, whether it's people or contraband. It doesn't matter if it's human trafficking, drug trafficking.
Now, when you say that, and I don't want to get into this. I want to stay on a high note here if we can. The drug problem has been, and if you talk to Eric, and I don't know what, Eric's got to be, he's got to be in his early 60s, easy. Now, when he got out of, I imagine he went to grad school, his first job was a beat reporter in Washington. So that would have been, let's say, 42 years ago, which puts us at 1982. Who the hell was president? Was that Reagan?
Reagan, yeah.
And Eric said that he used to cover one or two murders a week. And all of a sudden, was it crystal meth back then that showed up? Whatever, I'm losing my waves of drugs. Well,
crack cocaine was, you know, might have been mid to late 80s.
Yeah, it might have been crack cocaine. He said the minute crack cocaine showed up, I went from covering two murders a week to 10 or 12. And oh, by the way, what it was doing to people was, so the drug issuance, I mean, if you talk to some people on the right, you know, sitting next to God up in heaven is Ronald Reagan, did everything right. He was tough. He was this. He did nothing. I mean, I don't know that anybody could have, Jen. But this drug, what is the solution here? Do we take out the Mexican government and just bomb the crap out of these drug people? I don't know what the solution is, but clearly whatever has been being done for 40 years through God knows president after president is not enough if we actually want to stop it. And clearly people in the city here are making a lot of money on it. They don't want to stop it. So, I mean, I don't know how you... It's sort of like the prohibition issue, except this stuff is way worse for you than alcohol. And I don't know how you... I don't know how you... If you want to stop it, you can, okay, because other countries have done so. It's brutal, but you can do it, right? We have no stomach for that.
You know, the thing that made, you know, the introduction of crack cocaine such a disaster was that it was so cheap. And this is when, you know, the sort of, you know, the drug price graph, you know, for pot became incredibly expensive compared to what it had been. And, you know, crack cocaine was incredibly cheap. Those aren't accidental results of just of consumption patterns. It has to do with the, you know, the traffic flow for this stuff, the means of production, how it's getting in this country, who's looking the other way if it's coming in from across the border, who's subsidizing it if it's being produced in this country, which, you know, I think a lot of it was. And of course now you've got, you know, the fentanyl disaster, which is clearly Chinese driven and clearly encouraged and enabled by what's happening at the border. So you've got a class of people who are already, you know, the decks are stacked against them if they're 30 or 40 and they've peaked out with their earning power and the job market for them has dried up already. There's no hope for, you know, meaningful retirement for them. What's the next stage? Well, unless you want to go out and kill yourself, you might as well go on drugs, I think. And find some way of maintaining an existence, as marginal as it may be.
You think it's so? You're desperate people, right? So you're in the camp that says, and by the way, I'm asking the question that the people you see essentially under the bridge, that they got under the bridge before they got on the drugs. I mean, generally.
Well, they were out on their way. I mean, that's. I mean, a lot of the people I think who, you know, end up in the stages that you're describing have been on a downward trajectory for a long time. They've never really had, you know, stable family life.
Well, some people just lose their job.
Yeah, and or some people are just, you know, thrown out of work, or they have a bad divorce or something else, or they have a health problem that bankrupts them. Who knows? But it's something that becomes irreversible once they get hooked on some substance, because now they're really not going to be productive to anybody without a major cleanup campaign, and there doesn't seem to be any willingness to, you know, shepherd these people through it. We don't care if they sleep in the parks or not. We just prefer not to even, you know they exist. But you know, the idea that this is some kind of anecdotal thing, I mean, you can look anywhere in any big city and see evidence of this, that there's a whole range of people in the prime years of their life who are completely useless now.
Well, somebody somewhere has done, well, I won't accuse the mayors or any of those people of the ability to do this. This is something that, you know, I would like to take a stab at. I still have some of my analyst skills and still have a calculator. I think I need to, I think it would send a message if I sent to Trump and Harris and Elizabeth Warren and all these people, if I just sent them a calculator, you think that would be a message?
But we have some pretty clear instructions on how to turn the thing on. I mean, let alone how to calculate it.
I mean, some of this stuff, it's like, you know, do you even have any idea? I listened to Trump a little yesterday, and he's talking about these people don't have to pay any taxes. And oh, by the way, we're going to make all this money back on tariffs and, you know, whatever. But I mean, and then I hear, you know, Harris giving people money for houses and stuff. What part of Archie broke don't you get? But But anyway, with the people, I'm losing my train of thought, but I bounce all over the damn place. I think, Jan, some states, there was a 60 Minutes episode in Nevada, of all places, about how if you're in jail there, they have training in every, not every kind, but an awful lot of different trades. You know, be an auto mechanic, change tires, change oil, do something. Or electric, whatever it is, they really don't want to let you out, especially let you out early, if you don't have some kind of a means to support yourself when you get out. Now, there's a cost to that, obviously. And they say, oh, yeah, we can't afford it. You know, we have people leaving, doing another crime, coming back. Leaving, doing another crime, coming back. And we also have the issue with a lot of the homeless people riding the trains and all their stuff. You know, what if we gathered everybody up now? I don't know what that does, you know, to somebody's... and say, okay, here, guys, we're not going to arrest anybody, but why don't we sit down? Let's have a little bit of a physical here. Let's have a shower. Let's get some clean clothes. Let's find out where the hell everybody exactly is so maybe we can help. Okay, you look to me like you've only been on whatever you're on for a month. You're pretty easy cleaned up. This is the programs we have available. Or you look like you're kind of a mess. You need to be somewhere for like a long time. I mean, someone here, there's an investment here that everybody will say we can't afford it. My question, Jen, is if you and I, let's get the people who always fight with each other on the show, let's get us in a room, actually with a couple of calculators and a cost of these programs. We'll get, you know, Dr. Blade and a few doctors and so forth. What does it actually cost? What are we spending now in the basically the bleep show we have? Would it actually be cheaper to make the investment? And if we could get, what's the number? If we can get 40% of these people back as taxpayers over 2 years, do we get a break even? Do we need 50%? What if we get 20? Does it work with 20? Do we need 80? Well, 80 is a problem to get 80% back. Does anybody even know? Everybody just hears what they hear from somebody shooting off their mouth and believes what they say? Does anybody even know what it would actually cost and what would be the break even? And maybe, I mean, I don't know. Does anybody know? I'm saying I don't, but I at least sit there and go, wait a minute, are you guys sure that you don't have the cash when look what we're spending every day, you know, cleaning people up under the bridge? I mean, what are we doing here?
I don't think they do, Tom, but I think what they have figured out is this is seen as an opportunity for growth in, you know, the services that are available, you know, at the public's expense to manage the homeless problem, to manage the substance abuse problem, to manage the mental health problem. It's not about, you know, it's always presented as if we want to get to the root causes of these things. You know, the teachers union wants to put in their contract that there should be, you know, affordable housing and, you know, prevent homelessness among students. Well, that's wonderful, but I don't know if teachers are likely to make any impact on that problem, but they are more concerned with keeping those problems up and running because that's money they can allocate to get more and more of the public troughs tax money, and they have an investment in not having these problems go away. If there were a way to do it, they wouldn't be interested in pursuing it. I can tell you that.
That's my point.
They'd be more interested in getting unionized people to go out and talk to the people living in homeless camps and find out what's really going on in their lives and let them stay there year round and never get them off of the public dole.
But is anybody
because
even?
They've already.
I mean, I know. I'm showing my financial analyst roots, and people go, "What the hell is he talking about?" I think, Jan, the only way to figure it out is to actually try it on a small scale. You and I, we'd be barking at each other, but we'd do a pretty good job. Let's open up Tilden Tech. We'll pick one south side, one west side. Let's open up these trade schools, put the stuff back in there that was supposed to be in there. Somebody's probably stolen the automotive mechanic stuff, the lace, the woodworking, you know, how to do plasterboard, how to do electric. Maybe we'll get some teachers from the unions, pay them. Not the teachers' union, from the electrical union. And let's say we have classes every night from 7 to 9, and any age can go. And let's figure out if we get 20 people, 30 people here, and it costs us, I'm not talking about some full costing bull crap. I want to talk about some variable costing. How much are we paying this guy? How much does it cost to keep the lights on at night? What are these 25 people that we're bringing them through electrical school or whatever the hell we're bringing them through? How to put plasterboard up, some basic carpentry, something. Let's put everybody through here, and at the end of the day, it costs us, you know, $1,500 a person. Okay, and what percentage of those people have to get a job and them to start paying taxes for us to get the $1,500 back? It can't be very many. Can it? When the payback.
I'm all for that, Tom.
But we get none of this. On one side, nobody wants to spend a dime. On the other side, nobody wants to do anything. You know, somewhere along the line, you got to stop cursing the darkness. You got to light a candle, bro. I mean, you know, if it absolutely didn't work, if nobody showed up, you know what? We've made worse investments, haven't we? As long as you do one or two schools, what's the difference?
I can guarantee you, Tom, if you tried that in Chicago at Tilden or, you know, some other school that's closed or about to close, you know, the first place you'd end up is in circuit court with the teachers' union suing you.
Well, you know what?
So you better have a big defense fund.
If that's the case, you know, screw them. I can't. Somewhere along the line, there needs to be solutions here, or else your city, my city, is going down. And I just heard this morning on the way in, the quote from John Kennedy in the Nixon debate: "If we go down, freedom goes down." I believe that. We're like the only. I mean, I guess you could say Britain or France or somebody care about freedom as much as we do. Whether they do or they don't, I don't know. But the fact is, they're not big enough to push it around the world like we are. If we go down, a lot of stuff in this world goes down. And what's it, 2-3 centuries for somebody to come back with it?
Well, we better start playing catch up.
Well, that's right. We got to stop, you know, stop fighting about the petty crap. By the way, I'm looking here for those. I listen to our, who knows, maybe our next president. Right now, just how many people do you think that are dying to get their taxes cut to zero by Trump or something by Harris? How many people do you think, if I asked them, what do you think the numbers are on the federal level regarding tariffs and other stuff? Do you think anybody has a clue, Jen, or even wants to look?
No.
Just for grins, for bleeps and grins, total tax revenue is $5.012 billion. Okay. Income tax revenue is $2.4 trillion. Payroll is $1.6 trillion. Excise taxes is $83 billion. Tariff is $70 billion. It is what? 1.2% of the total.
What's our deficit?
Well, our deficit's huge. But what I'm saying is, we have a guy running for president saying he's going to replace one with the other. Jen, how the hell are you going to get $3 trillion out of tariffs? What is stuff going to cost?
Well, I don't think the idea could ever be, and I don't even think Trump would argue this, that this is some way of plugging a gap in the deficit, or, you know, taking over some kind of revenue source and making it fit. But it is about making sure that we can, you know, develop a culture that believes in starting businesses and creating jobs in this country and not in, you know, Uruguay or someplace. Well,
I'm totally with you on that, but I'm saying
it's not going to happen in a line item. It's a budget from year to year. It's over a 50-year period.
You and Kevin are of the ilk and that if we sat down with Trump, he probably knows what we're talking about. But the numbers just don't match up. But it's not what he's saying to people. There are people who are convinced if you're a bartender, you're not going to be taxed anymore, and the tariffs are going up and they're going to equal out. Well, you know, Jen, that dog doesn't hunt. It just doesn't. I mean, I actually kind of like the idea what Carl's talking about, but with, you know, the if we know somebody's polluting, of course we're the ones that are sending them the stuff and want them to pollute, right? There's a reason we send our cotton over to China for them to make the blue jeans. We don't want the dyes here, right? It's okay. So if we have some sort of a, And by the way, we offshore child labor, right? So if you want to have some kind of tariffs to even that up, but we could be, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, I'm sorry to do it again, but I have been a, you know, I'm not a huge clothes horse at all, but Duluth Trading, L.L. Bean, every one of them that I've seen that I've been involved with, that I bought stuff from and get the catalogs from, every one of them at some point has tried a Made in America blue jean, Made in America khakis. They're in there for about four catalogs and they're gone. They're like $20 more and nobody buys them. So the idea that all of a sudden we're going to bring the family that has five kids and doesn't have a whole lot of dough, there's a reason why they're going to Old Navy and buying the blue jeans from China, right? Because they're cheaper in other places. So somehow or another, you can't just say, we're going to put a huge tariff on that so the blue jeans for the family of five is twice what they are now. Everything you do has a reaction, right?
Right.
So somehow or another, I don't know what, but the idea that somehow you're going to be saved money-wise because I'm going to tax somebody you don't like, that's, I don't even what you call that. I'm sure everybody in politics.
Well, that's
that
going to drive all these people offshore. That's what it's done already. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's.
But I mean, nobody's going to sit around and be built, you know.
But I think before we get any kind of a, I guess to summarize this goofy rant I've had today, before we even know where we're going, John, we got to know where we are. And I don't think anybody even really wants an assessment of that. We want to know how many people in the city drastically need medical help, drastically need, you know, training, drastically need something to become productive, because only if they're productive and are payers into the system are we going to get anywhere. More and more people out of the system that everybody else is trying to cover. By the way, when you can leave town and just dash out of it, that's a zero-sum game, isn't it?
Yep. The only positive thing I can see is if you cut taxes to a particular group of people, you know, don't pay taxes on overtime or, you know, whatever promise you want to make. The idea that you can maybe stimulate spending because people will have disposable income they don't have and don't have any prospects for it right now, it seems. But that means a complete reversal of a system that we have just let degrade, so that we now have to look for some kind of desperate way of fixing the people who have their backs up against the wall. I mean, it's a question of those people going under or becoming drug addicts, you know, in a year or two when there's no hope for them, or keeping them going for in the short term. And maybe if it stimulates enough spending and we can, you know, improve what we, you know, the mess we've made. But this is all because we're in such desperate straits, Tom.
Well, but we're legacy. We got a dash. We got Nancy coming on. But we'll do a short break. Every single person, John, can say that they'll do good with the money they don't have to pay in taxes. I'd be happy to make that argument for myself. I can be pretty eloquent at it, actually. But I also know that if every time somebody else doesn't pay, I pay more. So how do you equate those two? And the corporations don't pay what they're, in my opinion, what they're supposed to pay. Okay. And the people who get stock that their dad bought 50 years ago and nobody ever pays capital gains on it, I got news for you. You and I are paying for that. Somebody is. It's just never me, it doesn't appear, or you.
What's the alternative then?
Whatever the number is, whatever the abusive number is to do whatever government has to do, in theory, if it's 30%, 31, 32, 25, whatever the number is, everybody pays it. Because otherwise, some people don't, and other people pay more. To me, that's very simple, right? Just saying.
And you know, to pick up on what Carl said last week, if anybody were prosecuted at the corporate level for the chicanery that they're getting away with now, you wouldn't have to imprison everybody who's doing wrong, but you show your willingness to do it, and it would have
a ripple effect. SPF is up 28, NASDAQ is up 137. We're still hanging in there pretty good. Real quick break, back with Nancy.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so.
I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our Better Business Bureau A-rated team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Call now for a free case review and a low-price guaranteed quote to get you protected today. Call now, 800-388-4901. That's 800-388-4901. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-388-4901.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Blowing up, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomo. At burn of the board, real quick here, S&P futures up 28, NASDAQ futures up 138. Pretty much everything is up across the board except for CVX because oil's down. Chevron's down 301. Boeing's down 263. Talk about the gang that can't shoot straight. Other than that, all the big stocks, Meta, all those other guys are up as you normally would expect with the market up. Real quick in Europe, actually down in Europe, which is kind of strange, but not much. DAX down 0.3, FTSE down 0.5, CAC around 0.2, so not that much. Over in Asia, in a Rock'em and Sock'em, Nikkei up 691, that's almost 2%. Hang Seng up 9, call that flat. Shanghai up 22.6. Again, the big mover this morning is oil on 443, that's over 6%. 67.35, I don't know where these guys keep calling for $100 oil. I hope they're not buying too much if you're thinking it's going up there. Brent down 447, 71.57. Even RBOB's down a dime, 197. Gold down 9 bucks, but still 27.45. Pretty high. Silver down 17 cents, 33.60. What do you have for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Yeah, good morning. It's currently 7:40 a.m. on October 28th, 2024. As far as weather in Chicago, 44 at Midway, 46 at O'Hare this morning. Today, high of around 67 degrees with sunny skies. 63 in Phoenix right now, partly cloudy, and a high of 92 today. Saturday, in the MLB World Series, we saw the Dodgers win the game against the Yankees 4-2. Tonight, they move on to Game 3. That game will start at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And of course, in the NFL yesterday, it was week 7 of the 2024 season. Bears lose to Washington Commanders 18-15. Bears are 4-3 so far this season. Packers won against Jaguars 30-27. And tonight, Giants play Steelers at 7:15 p.m. That's all I got, Chief. Back to you.
We have Nancy?
We do indeed.
Nancy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Didn't see you again this weekend. You ditched me?
Of course I did. It's the weekend.
Well, you guys want to party during the week when I'm not there, you know?
Well, you just go to different party places.
Well, yeah, well, it's just, you know,
John, you know what it's like to be avoided, don't you? Just like, you know, that guy's over there. Let's not go to that place. You know,
John and I saw each other this week, Tom. What are you going to do?
You guys saw each other?
Well, in your mind, we did. We're avoiding
I wouldn't be
to be seeing each other.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you guys like found a spot to meet without me. You know, this is the way it is.
I know. I'm telling you the truth.
What's going on in your world? What's going on in the mortgage stuff? I know Audrey's pretty busy with a few things. Again, it's kind of people trading houses, but still, it's people doing, you know, going from whatever one style of home to another, whether they're getting older or not or whatever. Just moving around size, and a lot of people are cash buyers, but still, the mortgage business has picked up a little, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I'm getting calls for refis and things of that nature, but prices went down and now they have gone back up. But you guys were having a serious discussion before I got on, boy.
Well, it's before you kind of solution, you kind of know what you have. You know, it's like being you remember the thing MASH. You know, if you're on the bus with the wounded, and you got a broken leg, and the guy keeps coming by giving you a pain pill, you say at some point we got to assess the problem and figure out what it is, right?
I guess.
I mean, otherwise,
I think maybe you saw the Trump rally yesterday.
No. I saw maybe 2 minutes of it. Was way too much. So there you go.
We got off. Okay. But did you see the Bears finish?
I was. Let's just say there were two TVs going.
Okay. But did you see the Bears finish?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that was John. Did you see it?
I saw the very end, yes.
Yeah, okay. We all are from Chicago. There's always next year.
Yeah. Oh, so Kevin, he's as bad of a Bear fan as you. He now tells me that my prediction earlier is that they're not going to beat anybody in the division. What do you mean? Green Bay and Detroit and Vikings can be had. Okay, we'll see.
We will. Yeah. Unfortunately, we will.
Remember the quote from high school. One of my buddies said about some young lady. She goes, "She's not easy, but she can be had." Whatever. Whatever. So,
okay.
Kevin thinks the Minnesota and Green Bay can be had. All right. Well, I hope he's right. I don't want to see him lose all these games. But look at the schedule. Other than the Pats, who do you think is a natural winner there? Nance? Anybody?
Boy, I have no idea anymore. The Commanders look like they're coming in strong.
Yeah, they dominated the whole game. They could have been up by four touchdowns or three touchdowns at some point.
Yeah, this is correct. I mean, the Bears did not play well yesterday, and had they won, they didn't really, I want to say, win the game, but the ending was just, the last 2 minutes of the game was just the craziest thing I've ever seen. So
the Commanders had that one pass called back from a touchdown because the lineman was downfield. He didn't do anything downfield. He just wandered downfield. Wasn't like he made a key block or anything. Right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm just saying it was just so many crazy stuff. If you looked at the end, there was only 5 seconds on the clock, and all of a sudden 6 seconds were on the clock. And had they not even had that extra second, it would have been.
Well, once totally you start to play, it doesn't matter. You always can finish the play. But, you know, what's funny about the whole thing is when the guy couldn't throw it, he was 60-some yards away. For those mm-hmm. that don't know what we're talking about, I don't know how you haven't seen this this highlight film. The Bears were up by 3 points or whatever with 5 seconds of play. So the guy gets the ball, and he's in the back, and they're chasing him, and it looked like they had him, and then he got out. And all of a sudden, he actually has room to wing the ball. It was in the air 60 yards, 65 yards or something. I mean,
yeah.
You guys got a hell of an arm. So it didn't make it to the end zone. So everybody rushes out of the end zone except for one guy who stays in the end zone. And none of the defenders stayed with that guy. They all ran out to try and catch the ball. One of the Bear guys reaches up, essentially tips the ball up in the air, and it goes right to the guy who's standing in the end zone by himself. So, you're taught to only hit the ball down, not up. And, oh, by the way, the first thing you do in one of those kind of plays is have somebody in the end zone, and the Bears ended up having no defenders in the end zone. They were all out in the 3-yard line where the thing got tipped.
Right.
And the guy's standing all by himself. What if that guy would have dropped that ball? Can you imagine? John, if he'd have dropped it, he would have just headed right out the stadium, right? It comes to him like a pizza pie. It just came to him, oh, look what I found, and he hung on to it.
I couldn't believe they made the two-point conversion. For sure, that
yeah,
was
I mean, it, yeah, fun. Well, the Bears scored, and it put themselves up one. Okay, so the idea is if you go for the 2 points, and some miracle happened, because what, there was like 20 seconds left, maybe?
23 seconds left in the game. It was just...
So if by some miracle those guys do a long pass, they can't beat you with a field goal. The best they can do is tie it, right? So then the Bears actually convert on the two-pointer, which, like Dan says, how'd the Bears ever do something right like that? So you figure worst that could happen is a couple of long passes out of bounds and somebody kicks one 60 yards and it goes through, right? You never dreamed they were going to get a touchdown. I mean, I didn't. But just so you know. So... when you say refinance, Nancy, what rate would somebody have their mortgage at now for them to be worth it for them to refinance? You've always said you need what, 1.5 or 2?
You usually need 2. You know, if you have a high mortgage amount, 1. You know, 2 is back in the day when the average mortgage was $170,000. Now I think the average mortgage now is like $315,000.
Whoa.
So if that's the case, then maybe 1?
Well, what's... Man, it's going to sound weird, but it's not... And you've been doing this for... What is the highest... There weren't very many people, I don't think. In the last couple of years, when the mortgages sprouted to almost 8%, how many people actually have a mortgage over 7.5? It can't be very many.
No, the majority of the people are still... You know, I would say 80% are still this 4% or under that we saw from a long time ago. It's just there, you know, you have so many beliefs out there on what's going to happen with the election that people are saying, you know, if Trump wins, I know he'll lower the rates, so I can do this. And then you have people saying, you know, I have to go now. I just feel like I have to, you know, plan the rest of my life. And people have all been waiting for this election to see if the rates are going to go down. And it's amazing how people can talk themselves into, because none of us know what's going to happen. Not really. I mean, if we knew, we'd go to Vegas and bet on it, right? I mean, we just don't know which way it's going to go.
Some people know, Nance. So I guarantee if I'd have known that the... Israelis were going to totally miss all the oil stuff over in Iran, I'd have been short oil last night. Somebody was.
Yeah. Just so it's starting to move, and it started to move because the rates fell, and then they went back up. So I don't know what to say about this whole thing. I mean, people have beliefs. They're acting upon what they think will happen. And then if it doesn't happen, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, the 10-year rate is up again today. It's up 10 basis points to 4.24.
It's not good.
No. And I, my question, I guess, and, you know, we have people from various political... Actually, you know, I got to get Brendan or Eric back. I need somebody from the left on the show. But you look at the deficit numbers, and everybody's got their... I think pretty ignorant way of thinking they're going to, everybody, I think the two people running, they're pretty ignorant way of how they're going to close this deficit, because they seem to be very convinced, probably correctly, because they know people better than I do, or they wouldn't be in that spot. They're totally convinced that nobody they're talking to has a clue how bad the numbers are, right? Or else you wouldn't tell people that you're going to close the gap by tariffs or something like that, or God knows what Harris is telling people. I don't see how it's either side, once they get there, whoever lands there in January, and they're sitting in the Oval Office, Trump maybe not, because I don't know what he thinks about. Whoever gets there has to say, what have I done to myself? Look at these numbers. Look what I'm facing. I mean, we're talking about all the taxes are only covering, what, Jen, 65% of the expenditures?
Yeah.
If you keep doing that... and going out for that kind of borrowing, I don't care if you're Solomon. You're not going to have these rates go down, Nance. How could you possibly?
I understand exactly what you're saying. I don't think either person could get rid of or cut the deficit at all. Do you, John? Do you think somebody could actually really make a dent in the thing?
No, and you listen to what's happening in the Senate campaigns and the House campaigns. And that's where I think there'd have to be a complete brain transplant for any of this stuff to happen. It isn't going to happen via the president, I suspect, if it ever happens. But I don't see any kind of people willing to take the hit for making the tough decisions as legislators and then trying to sell it back home to the people who voted them in. I just see that the rampant cowardice. Nobody is really going to go out on a limb and do what we have to have done, because they'll pay the political price for it sooner than the president will. So I just don't see it happening.
Really. I don't either, Tom. I don't see it happening no matter who gets in.
I don't either. I mean, the people who I think are, in my opinion, are like not paying their fair share. I don't see any. I would say, for instance, like the it's the one that, we had the article we talked about. The one fatso drug that actually costs $5 to make, they charge $1,000 for. Well, I think you at least, if you had the political will, would make sure, if you couldn't do anything with the patent laws or something to where the person couldn't charge $1,000, at the very least, you would hope you made that firm pay taxes on $1,000. And I think a lot of the drug companies' profits are overseas, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. So we're not even getting, we're letting somebody rip everybody off, and we're not even getting our tax share from it. Because they give everybody,
then
that's pretty sad. But if World War II, if Nancy and Audrey are clever enough to weasel themselves a PT boat motor contract for 10% above what it should be, at least they're gonna spend the money in the restaurants in Orland, and by the way, they're gonna pay taxes on it. We don't even do that anymore, do we?
No.
If you let people steal, at least let them pay taxes here and trickle the money down to people here, right? We're not even smart enough to do that. I mean, I don't know. Where do you think, Pfizer or Moderna or those people's profits all are, John? I don't think they're here, are they?
Oh, my God. I mean, this is one bright spot. If, the election ends up with Trump in there, and if RFK has some kind of leverage where he can become a point person for reining in the drug industry and the food industry, which he has said he wants to do, and this would have made him a viable candidate had the Democrats not frozen him out, that you could see some momentum, but that's putting an awful lot in that basket. And the kind of blowback that the drug companies are gearing up with for anybody who's talking like he is. So I see this as a pitched battle. It may happen incrementally in very small amounts,
I would,
for one administration, but it's going to be a long-term struggle, I'll tell you, and it's not going to be an easy one.
I would have hoped for that in Trump's first term, but since, now granted, the COVID messed him up, but how much money? I mean, he gave a lot of dough to drug companies. I don't think you can put him on the side of their worst enemy. He could be their best friend.
I don't know. I think he had the COVID screwed everybody up. Let's face it; it changed a lot of things. So
didn't screw the drug companies up, Nance. They did pretty well.
I understand that, but he was, I mean, you're caught in a bind when you have all these people getting sick. They go to the stockpile, the ventilators don't work. They can't treat the sick. People are going to die. That's a no-win situation.
Oh, yeah. They had drugs that they knew worked. They wouldn't let them give anybody, though, because of the CDC. And what do you suppose, I'll ask you that, if the three of us could withdraw from society for a month and do a big study on just what the relationships are between Pfizer and a few of these other firms and the CDC, what do you think we would find, and who would we I'm not going to. I mean, I got to believe there'd be some arrests there or something.
I'd say executions.
Oh God, you're starting to sound like Carl.
Executions.
But I mean, I can't even. If you went through that, starting from the giving money to Wuhan when I think two presidents told people not to. We funded a lot of that, didn't we? And how does the University of North Carolina come out unscathed? Weren't they the people who funneled the money over there? Wasn't it?
They were the conduit, but yeah. I think, yeah.
I mean, how does this even happen without anybody getting spanked for it? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, you know, how many people are dead? What do you have to do to get in trouble here? I mean, if you know the right people. If you don't, it's real easy to get in trouble, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, so Nance,
this is why doctors were pressured into prescribing remdesivir, which just killed patients, yeah. Flat out, and not prescribed ivermectin because it was cheap, and then drug companies couldn't make any money on it. I mean,
yeah, you
talk about profit driven.
Mass
killings.
Nance, what are you seeing in the new? Who are the buyers? I mean, how many we've had? A couple of young ladies on the show in the last month from Russell brings on, and their view of the world is totally different in terms of financially than, you know, certainly when John and I got out of school, when if you had some kind of a debt, was real small. And it actually kind of bugs the living bejesus out of me when I hear people, maybe wives or husbands of people I know talking about, they have this real, I won't say right wing stance, but real conservative stance that I did it. You know, there was a generation there, a time frame when you came out of school, you got a job, the job was good. Oh, by the way, if you bought a house, it did nothing but go straight up. If you bought a stock, it got nothing but go straight up. For those people, and I'm talking about my age group, to not understand that the world is different for these young people now. I mean, our generation, if you did it right, if you were lucky, and if you could be, you could go down to the exchange floor and maybe make some money, you could do something. The opportunity for these young kids to actually break out and form their own business or do something, I think is damn near non-existent. I don't think you get the financing. I don't think anybody wants you. The big firms come after you. The regulators will come after you. I don't see anybody starts a firm like PTI anymore. A small firm, you'd have to be a moron to do that. How could you? Regulators don't want you. The big firms don't want you. I don't even think you could take the test without somebody sponsoring you. I mean, it is so hard. But anyway, both of these young ladies, John, you probably listen more than Nance does, but every one of them are going to come out with a bunch of debt. They have that to worry about. The job market is probably okay. You got to worry about grad school. Did the young lady with the finance degree, does she need to go to somewhere? I mean, how do those people, how does a couple like that come in and buy a house, Nance, with $300,000 of student loans and God knows what? How do you get them in a place?
I just had somebody for $190,000 in debt for a physical therapy degree, and her student loan debt is $1,500 a month. She couldn't get her approved.
Could you recommend her to a rich guy?
No, I told her that, and this is true, that you've got to find a job or at least try and find out who's... A lot of these places, if you work for them for 5 or 8 years, by at least 5, they will help pay off that student debt for you.
Wasn't there a term for that, Jen? Wasn't that called indentured servitude?
No, and if you work in the prison system, they definitely will pay it off for you. But you're going to have to do something to get rid of the debt. I mean, you're already, who wants to graduate with that kind of a monthly debt load of $1,500?
Well, if two people like that tie the knot, then you really got a problem. Now you're talking $400 as a family.
Yeah, so she did call me back and thank me for at least giving her the advice, because she did find a hospital that was they're out there that was willing to pay some of that debt off if she signed the contract and stayed. That's what she was going to do. I
can't believe we have U.S. citizens signing contracts like that. To me, that is so unconscionable. I know I'm on a limb. What do you think, John? I'm talking too much.
Well, it's a better solution than being shut out for the rest of your life from ever owning anything. The thing now, people who are trying to get out from under the debt, the people like you're describing, Nancy. I think there's so many jobs now. You're subjected to credit checks, at the application process, and they look at what you owe. This was never a big deal. I remember, when I would have applied for any job, they weren't looking at my finances. Maybe if I'd been handling a lot of money, they would have, certainly. But otherwise, no. But I think now there's such a suspicion that you're hiring the next embezzler that's going to put this business under. So all this like nervous checking into people's backgrounds. So the loss of privacy about this stuff is also taking a toll. People who are not bad credit risks but do have some debt are going to be bypassed when it comes to a job opportunity. This is
true. Well, and then they check Facebook now too to see what your social habits are and if you're drinking. If there's a lot of pictures in bars and drinking and drugs, or they perceive to be drugs, that's another thing that's going to come back and haunt you later.
Yep, so, that's the social credit system of China instituted here.
Well, I have a real quick story, and we got a dash. You remember, I won't use his full name as an attorney, but remember, everybody had a nickname, Nancy, and people had pretty thick skins in those days. You remember, what I'm talking about? Remember Rotund?
Oh, yes.
His name, we called him Roe for Rotund. He couldn't have been 25 pounds overweight. It wasn't like he was a big fatso at all, but everybody had a name. The guy's name was Mike. There was a million Mikes, so everybody needed a nickname. He ended up with Rotund, Nance. How would that work? He said some lady came in, very attractive. Not that that makes any difference, except he said she, and he has a law firm, and she wanted a job. She went to someplace nice undergrad, then went someplace like really nice grad. This has got to be 15 years ago, Jan and Nance said her debt was like $350. And even though they were willing to, she was a hot commodity in terms of where she went to school and stuff, said we were willing to pay her like $100 or $125. And he goes, I'm sitting there doing the math. I'm saying she can't make it on that. And we don't want her, tending bar or worse, not that tending bar is a bad thing, or working as a stripper on a Saturday night just to pay off this debt. We just when we figured she couldn't make ends meet even at the pretty high price we were willing to pay for, we didn't hire her. He goes, I don't know if that's legal or not legal. He goes, but we didn't hire her. And quick comment on that, guys. Then we got to go. What do you think? I mean, it's awful, isn't it? But how? I mean, I don't think he was wrong by doing that. Do you?
No. Right.
I think what they're doing now is they're paying a little bit less, and they're saying, okay, we're going to pay off part of the student. We're going to make your student loan payment maybe for you.
Well, it's a waiting, but I don't want to sign up to a boss for 5 years. What if I don't like the guy?
Well, too bad.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what are you going to do?
I know. I'm like John says, it's probably the best alternative out of three bad ones, right? Anyway, yeah. SP Futures up 34. Nance, give us a shameless plug before we go.
Oh, my name is Nancy Long Graham. Give me a call at 708-341-9601. 708-341-9601. And I know John's going to call me.
John will call to refinance just to give you the business. That's the kind of guy he is. SP Futures up 33. Nance, if you're up 162. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now,
right now. That's all, folks.